You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Wonderful to have your company as we build up to the Open Championship here at William Hill. Thank you for joining us. Royal St George's Golf Club in Sandwich, Kent is the destination for the Open Championship. Dave Kellner joined by Dave Tindall to look through the latest betting odds and give you our selections for the season's final major championship. Dave Tindall, good morning to you.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
I'm looking forward to this one. Cannot wait. Were you there in 2003 or 2011 at this course?
Yeah, I was there both times, actually. My auntie lives in Canterbury in Kent, so that was an ideal. See a bit of family, go to the golf.
Very good. And what were your memories of those two Open Championships then? Because obviously Ben Curtis back in 2003... won in his first ever major championship appearance. He was 500-1, and Darren Clark won in 2011 when he was 200-1. So we've had a couple of huge price winners the last two times the Open Championship has been at Royal St George's.
Yeah, and it probably makes you think that it's kind of impossible to predict, and that all these quotes that you get, quirky bounces on this course, perhaps more than any other on the open rota, maybe causes that. But you look at who else did well, especially in 2003, it's full of guys who were in the world's top 15 at the time. So I just think the winner was a bit freaky. And Clark, I mean, Clark was a big price. He'd fallen out of form, but he'd won that season, and he's a links kind of expert. So I don't think we need to get too kind of alarmed by what's gone on in the past, because a lot of good golfers did finish very well. It's just that maybe even Todd Hamilton then winning the year after just maybe threw people for a bit. But so many Open winners are just really good players.
What was your memories of the course then, Dave? Because it's a 7,200-yard par 70. It is a specialist links, as you would imagine. Loads of blind tee shots around here as well. And from what I'm reading in the build-up, the course has taken on a lot of water in the last 2 weeks or so, but it's going to play firm and fast, you would imagine, with the drying conditions, and it's going to be windy as well, which I know lots of people wanted to see a windy Open, didn't they? And that's what makes it really special, the Open Championship, when the weather plays a part.
Yeah, I can remember on the Saturday of 2011, it was terrible weather, one of the worst I can remember being at an Open. But I don't think we've got any of that this year. Yeah, I read Shane Lowry was interviewed last night, and he said at the moment it seems to be quite soft, but with weather forecast, he expects that to dry out by Thursday, and even more so as the weekend goes on. So should be a nice, pingy, bouncy golf course. And as you say, a bit of wind thrown in as well. So a good open test then.
Let me spin you through the betting here with William Hill. We are top price guaranteed on the top 10 in the market. Plus, we are paying 9 places each way. So that's a cracking concession for you this week with William Hill. John Rahm tops the betting at 8-1. Brooks Koepka in the market at 18-1. Jordan Spieth is 20. Xander Schauffele 20-1. Rory McIlroy 22-1. Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas are both 22s as well. Colin Morikawa and Bryson DeChambeau both 30-1. Shane Lowry, Tyrrell Hatton, Patrick Reed, Victor Hovland, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Patrick Cantlay and Tommy Fleetwood all 33-1, and it's 35-1 and bigger the remainder. Dave, as is the case coming into any major championship, you tend to do a trends piece ahead of these majors, which is always eagerly anticipated, and it's one of those situations where you put all the trends together and it predicts a winner, and Rory McIlroy came out. Computer spat out Rory McIlroy this time. But which trends do you think are most significant going into the Open Championship? I suppose that's the question.
I do think, from what I said before about not being alarmed by Clark and Ben Curtis, If you go back to 1993, all of the world's top five at the time finished in the top 10. So I do think world ranking is a very important one. 37 of the last 38 major winners were from the world's top 50.
Yeah.
And the only guy who wasn't was kind of a complete legend in Phil Mickelson. So definitely world ranking is a good one. Played well in the Open before, normally counts for plenty. I mean, there's a stat in that I think I put how many had had a top 10 before. I think Rahm has only had an 11th, but, you know, it's how literally you take it all, I guess. A lot of them have played the week before, which is an interesting one. 8 out of 10 have played the week before, and most of those in the Scottish Open.
Yeah.
But I think I wrote somewhere that if I was doing a 3-year trends piece, 2 of the last 3 hadn't played the week before. So you can sort of pick it apart with all sorts. But generally, some sort of decent form, a bit of an open pedigree. If you've had 4 miscuts in an open, I don't see how you can suddenly arrive and win one. But yeah, I was surprised Rory came out of that, because normally when I go through that thing, you normally end up with about 5 and you think, how do I whittle it down from here? But
yeah.
It just came out with Rory McIlroy. And since I wrote it, he then goes on to miss the cut at the Scottish Open, which isn't ideal. But I think I saw a Justin Ray tweet where something like the last, I don't know, 10 times he's missed the cut, the next start he's won on 3 of them. So Rory can just go from seemingly the pits to suddenly winning again. So I'm not as, you know, I've not written that bet off at all, because I think he might just have something in his locker.
Yeah, no negative with Rory McIlroy perhaps at 22-1 this week. And as far as this course is concerned, comparing it to other Open Championship venues, these greens are notoriously hard to find. So I've put maybe more stock in scrambling than I usually would. I know scrambling is always important in an Open Championship, and a short game is always going to come to the fore. But even more so at this venue in these conditions, perhaps.
Yeah, I think so. Seems to be an important thing. I don't know if you've seen any of the early kind of footage or pictures of the rough being quite juicy.
Yeah. I saw Richard Bland tweeted, didn't he, that it was the thickest rough he'd ever seen at an Open Championship before.
Yeah, and then probably someone will remind him that, what about this one 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a bit of a... You know, every time you hear that, you think, really? Are you sure? Have you really sort of scientifically gone back and looked at the rest? But yeah, Matt Cooper's there. He watched some tee shots off the first tee and was speaking to one of the marshals, who said he's seen quite a lot of lost balls already. But I don't think then you translate that into a right. You must have a laser-like straight hitter. Because it never, so you know, you get that in the US Open, don't you? Those classic clips of someone dropping a ball into the rough, and you go, "Oh my God!" But I wouldn't put too much emphasis on having to be the straightest of hitters. People find a way, but yeah, scrambling's a good one. In terms of when you ask me what do I remember from the course, not an awful lot, to be honest. You mentioned blind tee shots. I think I remember more trying to get there. There's a nightmare to get there from many. Like, I think the station's about a 40-minute walk. But normally you sort of get off and they seem to, you know, go over a bridge and you're there. There's a Jack Nicklaus quote that's done the rounds, and I think he says something like, open courses get worse the more south you go.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of quotes suggesting that this isn't... It says something to me that you don't remember the golf course that well. You remember getting there rather than actually what the golf course was like, to suggest that it's not one of the highlights on the Open rotation.
No, whereas other ones like Birkdale, I can, you know, and Troon, where the first 6 go out along the coast, that seem to have more memories of those. But this one, I know it's a while ago, but I've been there twice. And yeah, I was thinking, right, what do I recall? Just... another open track, really. Even I'm probably doing it a bit of a disservice, but yeah, I can't bring any brilliant insights into, oh, you've got to be doing this or this, really.
Are you confident going this week with your bets, Dave? Or did you find it difficult? Yeah.
It's still an open course, and you know, you can pick around at the differences and say, oh, well, this one's not like this one. But there's so many general themes, and I do think the cream rises to the top. And that there's, I guess, one of the other ones, as certainly was the case with Clark, even Todd Hamilton, when he won an open. If you've won this year, that seems to be an advantage as well. Mm. Although that only applies to one of my two picks. But I think plenty of good form this year, if not the literal win, maybe.
Okay, I've got two selections, Dave. How many have you got this week in the outright market?
Yeah, I've got two.
I'll let you go first.
Could be the same one, Xander Schauffele.
I was very, very tempted with Xander Schauffele at 20-1. I've actually opted for the other 20-1 shot in Jordan Spieth, but we'll come to Spieth in a moment. But yeah, Schauffele's major championship record is just exceptional, isn't it?
Oh, ridiculous. He's had more top 10s than he hasn't. So 9 of his 17 majors are top 10s. This year, 3rd at the Masters, 7th at the US Open. The Open Championship, he was 20th on debut at Birkdale. Runner-up at Carnoustie. He didn't play so well at Royal Portrush, but that kind of stands out as a kind of real outlier when you look through his form. But I do like the fact that he went to Scotland last week and had a bit of a tune-up on the links, finished 10th there without absolutely destroying his price by winning it or finishing second. Seemed to have, you mentioned scrambling, he was 3rd in scrambling in Scotland last week, so that looks good. Approach numbers were good as well. And just sometimes the press conferences around this time of year, maybe in Scotland and maybe less so in Ireland this year because it wasn't on the links, but they start to say, do you like links golf? And sometimes there's sort of slight platitudes or sometimes you can hint that they don't really, but they're pretending they do. But I think he genuinely does. He just seems to relish the test. He mentioned something about he's got, you know, European blood in him. And I think his grandfather used to play football for Austria, stuff like that. So he's kind of feels a bit more at home than you might initially think, Xander Schauffele. And he likes the unpredictability. He likes the wind. He just really relishes this test. And having finished runner-up in one, I think that's kind of the proof in the pudding. And just his recent form, 10th at the Scottish Open, 7th US Open, 11th Memorial, 14th Wells Fargo, 3rd the Masters, couple of runner-up finishes in Phoenix and Torrey Pines earlier this season. And just that major record. I think there's been a slight thing with him in recent years where he's almost been clobbered too much by the handicap and you're thinking, well, 14, 16. But to me, sort of 20-1 was a, yes, that's a sort of green for go price with him.
Yeah.
You can easily justify it, can't you? The each way element. And I do think he will win one. It's not like he's not won big events before, but just that thing, there's so many, maybe less so in an open, but so many guys who are due a win in a maze, like Rahm last time, DeChambeau, they seem to just, I don't know, the golfing gods are in very kind of pleasant sort of form at the moment, aren't they? Just say, all right, it's your turn, you can win this one. So Schauffele might just have that extra bit of oomph to try and get it done. I think this should be a good course for him.
Xander Schauffele at 20-1, Dave's headline selection here. I'm going with Jordan Spieth at 20-1. I think it's about time Jordan Spieth won another major championship. And he's kind of risen from the ashes this season, hasn't he? With that really good performance at Phoenix, being the catalyst for this run that he's been on. Finished 3rd at the AT&T Pro-Am at Pebble Beach, then 4th at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, then got his win at the Texas Open, followed that with a 3rd at the Masters, 2nd at the Charles Schwab Challenge subsequently, and really found his iron play again in the US Open on a golf course I don't think will have really suited him at Torrey Pines when he finished 19, so I'd upgrade that form. The only negative with Spieth really is something that you referenced. He didn't play last week in Scotland, hasn't played since Torrey Pines, so he's had a while off, but I'm sure someone of Spieth's calibre can handle that. And who can forget that finish at Royal Birkdale back in 2017 where he beat Matt Kuchar? And he's got that magic in his hands, hasn't he, Spieth? And he's often at his best when imagination comes to the fore. That happens regularly at Augusta National, where he's got such a good record, and it's definitely required at an Open Championship as well. He's won on a sandbelt course in Australia, so he likes conditions like this, and I think he's in line to claim perhaps his fourth major championship on Sunday afternoon, and I think the stars might be aligning for Spieth at 20-1. And you look through his strokes gain metrics, in his last seven tournaments now, he's only lost strokes in one department, and that was putting at the PGA Championship. He's gaining across the board, and I really like that coming into an Open Championship.
Yeah, all good. He's going to pop up again later in this podcast when I talk about one of my other bets. So
yeah,
definitely on board with him as well. Just to kind of reassure you about him not playing, when he won at Birkdale, he hadn't played for a month before. And
oh, that's nice. That's a nice little wrinkle there. I do like that. I think Spieth's going to go well this week. I don't think I'm alone in that assessment either. He's going to be very popular, isn't he? But like you said, with Xander Schauffele at 20-1, you're getting those nine places each way, and yeah. I think he's a really good bet at 20s. Who's your second selection, Dev?
Yeah, so again, back to this idea where so many players who win the Open are very highly ranked in the ranking. So I just compared, I basically wrote out the top 20 in the world rankings, looked at their prices, and yeah, there's a few that are a little bit generous. Maybe at the top end, you're getting 20s on players that maybe in other majors would be 14, 16s. But there's one ridiculous standout, Harris English at 70-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's world number 12. I just think that hasn't been taken into account. It's like that's priced up on Harris English, world number 34 or something. World number 12. You don't get to world number 12 by kind of winning a competition. Yeah, drawing out of a hat. That's a terrible analogy. You do get to well by winning the competition. Golf competition. He hasn't just kind of been drawn a lottery ticket and there, oh, you've got number 12. He's got there by winning twice this season, which is fantastic. And the first of those was by the coast at the Century Tournament of Champions. Then had a bit of a back injury, which hampered him a little bit. But then he's the man now banging form, isn't he? He won last time out. Excellent victory. Could have won the two times before that. He was third in the US Open, which was his second straight top four in a US Open. So in that respect, he sort of seems to be treading the path that Francesco Molinari trod, in the fact that if you're making a list of potential Open winners, you're not really, based on purely Open form, he doesn't really appear. Same with Molinari and at Carnoustie in 2018. But when you look at current form, if that's your main focus, you put more weight on that than anything else. Well, he won last time out of the Travelers, third at the US Open before that. And when he did win early in the season, that was kind of expected. He was riding a hot wave then. So then you do check his Open form just to check that it's not horrendous. And it's just not at all. He's made four or five cuts. He's got a top 15 in there. So I just find the price really strange. I just think it's because he's not normally part of the cast in Opens that you don't think, you know, he should be. But all those previous looks, that's all money in the bank for Harris English. And if he can just come over here and play the golf that he's been playing, I mean, he's an experienced customer. He lives on Sea Island, where a load of former kind of Open types live, like Zach Johnson, Davis Love, who's been in the top 10 at Sandwich twice. Cucciani nearly won an Open. He would have practiced a ton in the wind and everything. It's just it really is a price play, really. But the fact that anyone who's got a win this season, you've got to have a little look at. Someone who's won twice this season, I think you've got to take an extra look at, and he's that guy.
Yeah, Harris English 70-1. Dave's second selection. I'm going with an American as well. It's an all-American cast here, isn't it, to a certain extent? Scottie Scheffler's my second selection, and he's available at 40-1 here with William Hill. I mean, it sort of goes against the grain when we're talking about experience in Open Championships to a certain extent. He's chasing his first major win, but maybe given Ben Curtis won at Royal St George's on his first major start, Scheffler has a chance this week. His body of work is brilliant. He's played well on the links at the Renaissance Club last week, and that put him on the radar when he finished 12th there. And he's not finished outside the top 20 in his last five major championship starts. I just think he's all-class Scotty Scheffler, and he can get so hot with the putter as well, which I like on a links course. So having finished 8th at the PGA, 7th at the US Open, getting 9 places, 40-1 each way, Scotty Scheffler's my second pick, and I do like the fact that he played so well at Renaissance Club last week.
Yeah, again, he's going to pop up in another one of my bets, but yeah, he was 50s last week in play, and then he got cut when he was playing so well. Played the middle 36 holes, bogey-free in Scotland. Again, he said all the things you want to hear. He said he liked just having a number of ways to play a shot. He said in PGA Tour courses, the grain dictates what you have to do. He says, here, you can do whatever you want. And you always think, growing up in Texas, knows how to flight a ball low. As you say, his record in majors is just fantastic. Two straight top tens. And I think he's one of these ones. I did read somewhere that maybe this course is easier to learn than the other open venues.
Okay.
Which might just help him as well. But I think he's just a fast learner, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's got a good chance this week at 40-1 Scotty Scheffler. So those are our four picks for the Open. Just before we talk through some of the leading contenders, those at the top of the betting, who came closest away from the guys we've mentioned?
Yeah, well, you've got to. Yeah, you
have to stolen your thunder to a certain extent.
Yeah, my third and fourth have probably been Scheffler and Spieth, really. Yeah. But the other one is probably, for me, Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
Who again just plays well in every major, same sort of Schauffele. Last five majors, he's got 2 top tens, 3 other top 20s. Top 10 at Royal Portrush last time. He said it did take him a little while to just realise that sometimes you're going to hit an 8-iron 140 yards and he's so used to kind of not having that such a yardage that he would sort of hit, you know, he'd nudge it a little bit. He was a bit scared of letting himself go rather than trusting the wind and the yardage that his caddy was giving him. But yeah. I think as he's played more over here, he's learnt that. He's done really well at Wentworth on his last couple of trips to England, 4th and 3rd. He also won the Junior Open Championship at Hesel on the Wirral on Merseyside as a kid. I think it was back when Tiger won at Hoylake. So he's got some great memories of golf over here, and I just think he's a brilliant, brilliant major player and just seems to be better, doesn't he, the better the field. So 33s, I think he is.
Yeah, he is 33-1.
Good each-way price.
That's Patrick Reed. I quite like the look of Sam Burns at 100-1. You just look at the sort of form that he's in at the moment, having won the Valspar, 2nd at the Byron Nelson, 13th at the Travellers, then came over to Scotland last week and shot 11 under par for the week and logged another top finish on that occasion. And his ball striking just got better and better and better as the week wore on. He finished on Saturday and Sunday 9 under par for the weekend. And I just think he's been overlooked in the market to a certain extent for a guy that's in such good form at 100-1. Maybe short game might let him down in terms of contending, but I thought he was an interesting runner at 100-1 anyway.
Yeah, definitely. It's very American, this, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. We've not mentioned anyone that's not American yet. So let's change that now. Let's change that now. John Rahm at the top of the betting, 8-1. I mean, he could have easily won 3 straight tournaments, should have won the Memorial were it not for COVID, then did win the US Open. And if the putter had cooperated last week, he'd have won in Scotland as well.
Yeah. It's almost like he was subconsciously saving himself, almost by not absolutely going full out in Scotland. There were times when, yeah, he looked the winner all over and then he just sort of backpedaled a little bit. But I don't know, it is 8-1 and the next best is 18-1. Is he that far ahead of everyone else?
Maybe. I just think conditions and the golf course and the vagaries of links golf mean that I wouldn't want to get involved at 8-1. But on a... you know, on a Parkland setup in the States, I'd say that was a more palatable price, perhaps.
Yeah, I think there's just some others with better open form, and I think I said at the start that he's not had a top 10 in an open, although slight technicality because he was 11th at Portrush.
Yeah.
But there just seem to be others who maybe this is more, or yeah, like you say, more of a level playing field. I mean, he's won two Irish Opens on links in sort of crazy, well, one of them he shot, well, they're both really under par. One of them was Madness under par, wasn't it? 20-odd under par. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. If someone said to me, look, I'm all over Rahm this week at 8s, his form's amazing, I couldn't say, well, you're wrong there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, 8-1 is fine. You've seen plenty of people who've been, you know, nominally the best player in the world go on and then win the next major to prove it. So 8-1 Rahm. But yeah, not really floating my boat enough this week. We'll see how he goes in running. You want to talk about non-English people. What do you think of Rory then?
I'm not interested at 22-1. I prefer Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas to Rory McIlroy this week at 22-1. I know the price is big. He just seems a little bit out of sync, doesn't he, at the moment? Would you say that's fair?
Well, he does, but what about all that other evidence when he's been out of sync and then won?
That's true. I mean, he could have easily won the US Open, couldn't he, Rory McIlroy at 22s?
I think, I'm not convinced he can win, but I think he can get a top nine, which would be an each way payout. I mean,
there's less pressure on him than there was when he played at Portrush, yes. Isn't there?
I mean, and even at Portrush, he did shoot a second round 65. That shows he's very good at links golf. I think he's pigeonholed as not being good at links golf, and maybe just got lucky in the year that it was calm at Hoylake. But then he made the top five in the next three, didn't he? I think. So he's, if he was just going on open form, you'd have him down as an absolute specialist. But because of the narrative that he needs a Parkland wet, soggy, long course, it's sort of glossed over the fact that he's done so well in open championships. Sometimes, yeah, he might do something like, he might backdoor it this week and not really be in it, but then shoot 64 on the last day and come seventh. That's fine if you're in each way back.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't roll him out.
No, what?
A return at least.
One of the runners that you've got to find fascinating at the price is Bryson DeChambeau, isn't it? Because 30-1. I don't think this is the test that he necessarily wants or requires, DeChambeau, but from a pure price perspective, you see 30-1 and you kind of like, your eyes light up a little bit, don't they, at that sort of price?
Yeah, they do, until you remember it's an open.
Yeah.
I just don't think. I mean, if you're talking about 30-1 shots, I would rather back Morikawa any day of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't really go too well for him at the Scottish Open. At least he got four rounds in. But before that, he was fourth at the US Open, second at Memorial, eighth at the PGA. I mean, DeChambeau, from someone who was going to take over the world a few months ago, he's not had a top 10 since March. Mm. He's had one top 10 since March. That was a ninth at the Wells Fargo. That's quite a lot of golf he's played since then. So it's not like he's tearing it up and now he's going to come to a course that might suit him. It's the other way, isn't it? He's not been tearing it up and now he's at a course where there are obvious reasons not to back him.
Yeah, and I do like Brooks Koepka as well at 18-1. I mean, he's always a threat in major championships, even when he's not playing well, and he actually comes into this in form, doesn't he? A peak form, really. Finished tied second at the PGA, tied fourth at the US Open, another top five at the Travelers. So you just cannot discount Koepka at this sort of price either.
Well, can that lead us on to our next wave of bets? Because he's in one of mine.
Definitely, definitely. Let's do that. We'll start off with our combined hashtag your odds selection. Then we'll talk through some of the supporting markets. Pretty straightforward, and we've mentioned both these players, so we won't have to elaborate here. It's at the top of the hashtag your odds section, available at williamhill.com. And on the app, Xander Schauffele and Scottie Scheffler, both to finish in the top 10, including ties, and that's 14-1. So that's Dave and I's combined selection there, 14 to 1 that hashtag Your Odds. Shoffley and Scheffler are both to finish in the top 10, including ties. Go on, give us your supporting market bets then, Dave.
Yeah, so I won't have to say too much on this because you've already said it, but I will go for, there's a special in the hashtag Your Odds on Jordan Spieth and Brooks Koepka both to finish in the top 5 at 22 to 1.
Okay.
Top 5 includes ties, which could be a big help. I mean, you've made all the argument for Spieth, who won the last Open Championship played on English soil, also 4th at St Andrews, 9th. At Carnoustie, where he had a big chance to win, actually, at Carnoustie. That gets forgotten a little bit. 20th at Portrush last time. Spieth. Koepka, well, he's been top 5 in his last 2 majors. I think there's a feeling that there's a slight theory, isn't there, that all this nonsense with DeChambeau is causing his concentration to go a little bit, but that's a bit of guesswork. He's still finished top 5 in those last 2 majors. I think because people are so used to him winning when he gets into contention in them that they think somehow he's gone off the boil a bit. But bottom line, top 5 last 2 majors is just fine. And he's got a good open record, 4th at Royal Portrush last time. Got 3 top 10s in his last 4 opens. Just plays this style of golf really well. So I just thought 2 of those. Maybe I'm just not quite as keen on Spieth getting the win as you. I think someone else maybe is just due to nip in front of him, but I can certainly see top 5. Maybe the same with Koepka. Might just be someone else's turn, but both of them getting top 5 at 22s seemed a good bet to me.
Okay, 22 to 1. You'll find that in the hashtag Your Odds section. Koepka and Spieth both for top 5 finishers. I've had a look at the top former winner market, and I like Spieth in this market, obviously, at 13 to 5, but I think... given we're each way a quarter of the odds, 1, 2, and 3, there's scope for someone each way. And I'm going to throw Padraig Harrington in there at 20 to 1 as my each way selection in that market of top former winners. You think his experience is going to be crucial this week, and it was, I thought, really encouraging how he returned to form when encountering the links in Scotland last week. He produced a top finish at Kiewer Island as well, won the Open back-to-back in 2007 and 2008, spoke really confidently about his game and positively about his game following last week. So I thought 20 to 1 in that top former winner market was fair each way value. So he's one of my 2 selections in the supporting markets.
Yeah, jolly good. I'm going to go for someone in the top 20 market, and I'm going to go with a guy who did me a bit of a favour last week, Lucas Glover.
Oh, nice.
He's 6 to 1 to have a top 20. So if you're bringing in the very current form, then yeah, he comes here off a win, so that's all good. And we've seen players, it always seems a bit odd why they would play the John Deere the week before, but we've seen players playing it and then come over and do really well. Molinari played in it. But you think, great, that's he's in good form, 6 to 1 for a player just to get top 20. And you go on to Wikipedia and you're looking for that yellow in his Open record for top 10s, and it's sort of a sea of non-yellow, and you think, oh, and it just seems to be a lot of MC for missed cuts. Then you sort of look at it again and you think, well, hang on, he was top 20 in the last Open at Portrush. He was tied 12th here in 2011 on this very course, which is sort of in the blue. And then you pick your way through the missed cuts and some of the actual numbers, and you see that he's finished in the top 20 in 3 of his last 6 majors. So 50% strike rate, 100% strike rate on the course, 6 to 1. Seemed a decent bet for top 20. He doesn't have to, you know, pull up massive trees. He doesn't have to do anything incredible, but I think he can trot his way into a top 20, and 6 to 1 is a big price, I think.
Okay, 6-1 Lucas Glover for a top 20. I've gone into the top English player market for my second bet in the supporting markets, and sticking with the theme of experience, really, I think Ian Poulter might have a big week this week. He closed with that sensational 63 at the Renaissance Club last week, and he's got a superb short game, always ranks highly in scrambling on the PGA Tour, including this year. I think he's in the top 15 on the PGA Tour in scrambling. Open Championship record is a little bit feast or famine. But I thought after last week he could produce this week. I like him each way in that market at 9-1. So he's my second selection. Very competitive market, top English player, as you would imagine. But he's my pick there at 9-1, Ian Poulter.
I'm a bit of a negative on Poulter.
Are you?
To ruin your moment.
Why is that?
Well, he's played in it twice and shot 78 both years, and he said he doesn't like the bounces here.
Okay, so you think he... Hopefully, he's matured enough now to put up with that, but that's a fair comment. So you're negative on Poulter this week. Which English player do you think will go well this week, then?
Harris English.
I like it. Yeah. Set you up perfectly for that.
Yeah. You probably the odds of it, if someone just gave me a free £5 bet each way bet, I'd go on Hatton at 33s.
Yeah. I always fancy Hatton in. I know he won at Bear Hill, didn't he, when scoring was difficult, but I always have him down as someone that performs better when you know when you can make plenty of birdies, but maybe that's.
Yeah, maybe we should. Maybe he'll be a big challenger at St Andrews next year, Hatton, because that'll be under par. Yeah. And obviously, he's won his Alfred Dunhill Links on that course.
Or, definitely.
Two of the four rounds on that course. I don't know. I mean, all through this podcast, we've just been talking about Americans, really. And obviously, we're not keen on people like Fleetwood at 33s or Lee Westwood at 40s or Casey at 35s, Rose at 45s.
They just seem a bit short. They just seem a bit short to me because they're English players.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a bias in the odds. Some of the American, you know, if you compare Casey's odds or Rose's odds to American odds in other majors, they'd be miles apart, and here they're quite sort of concertinaed up.
Well, I think one of those. One of those that you could say is perhaps overpriced is someone like, I mean, Daniel Berger at 50-1 this week, when you consider his overall form this season. And he's world number 16, isn't he, Daniel Berger? And he finished 7th at the US Open 2 starts ago.
Yeah.
So I just think that a lot of those English players are maybe slightly shorter in the betting than they should be, perhaps.
Yeah. I think that's ultimately why we've been put off them a little bit, isn't it?
I don't know if you could label that a Hatton to... I think it's more so no, Fleetwood and Westwood, perhaps.
Sort of his price is sort of stood up a bit.
I think he's about right, isn't he? He's 10th in the world, and he's got such a solid links record.
Yeah. So he's someone who's not... You know, he could have been 25s, couldn't he? And you wouldn't... You know, he's been collared a bit. But 33s is okay.
Should we wrap up then, Dave? I think we've about covered the Open at Royal St George's.
I will just make one final mention of a player. I don't quite know which market to play him in, but I've just got a feeling we'll see him up there at some point. Will Zalatoris.
Oh, okay.
Who's taken to majors like a duck to water. He's got a second, a sixth and an eighth already in majors. So I just think he seems to get the formula right. His form had gone off a little bit, but it came back in Scotland last week. It wasn't anything amazing, but it just turned it the right way again. I thought that could be a decent build-up. Obviously, the Masters, he was brilliant, wasn't he? 26 in Scotland last week, finished 66, 69 on the weekend. I just think he'll be one of these players that... I don't know, you just sort of see wandering around on the course and you think, oh, look, there's an American guy out of sort of context. I'm so used to seeing him in American tournaments, and here he is wearing sort of windy gear and stuff in the Open. I just got this funny feeling he'll be prominent at some point, really prominent, like maybe even leading. Might look at him for first round leader, maybe.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Enjoyed that immensely. If you want to follow myself and Dave on Twitter, you can do so at D Kellner and at Dave Tyndall Golf. And keep your eye on the weather forecast as well. That's something we've not made a massive mention of, but obviously it's such a staggered start with everyone going off number one. You can have massive biases in the Open Championship. It's something one of our colleagues, Mike Grenham, used to reference on this podcast on regular occasions, that you either need to look closely at the weather or save some of your stake back, perhaps, because there can be huge biases.
Yeah, definitely.
It looks like it's going to be. It looks like it's going to be really windy on Thursday and Friday, which I'm looking forward to.
Oh yeah, I love to say that. Yeah, and someone maybe just find some sort of golden slot where they can get in with a score. Should we go through our bets?
Let's do that. Outright selections. Let's start with you, Dave.
Yeah, so Xander Schauffele, I'll go a point and a half each way at 20s. And then also I'll go Harris English, who seems to have been cut while we've been talking. So he's now 66-1. That's all right. Point each way and Harris English at 66-1. Your outrights?
Yeah, my outrights. I'm going 2 points each way, Jordan Spieth at 20s, a point each way on Scottie Scheffler at 40-1. We'll have that point combined on the top 10 bet, Scheffler and Schauffele at 14-1. That's top of the hashtag Your Odds list. And you can access the hashtag Your Odds at williamhill.com and on the app. And you can tweet to at William Hill using that hashtag Your Odds, and the traders will price your bet up as well and release it on the sports book. So do that if you fancy anything and it's not already available with William Hill. And you've got a bet separate to that in that hashtag Your Odds market, Dave.
Yeah, so mine is Jordan Spieth and Brooks Koepka both to be in the top five. That includes ties at 22-1. And then my other one from the side markets is Lucas Glover, last week's winner, to have a top 20 at 6-1.
Very good. I'm just going to have half a point each way on my two supporting market bets, which is Ian Poulter, top English player at 9-1, and Padraig Harrington, top former winner at 20-1, is the other bet in the supporting markets. There's a full range of markets available on the golf page at williamhill.com and on the app. And don't forget, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10 in the market, plus we are paying 9 places each way as well this week. Dave, thank you for your company.
Cheers, Dave. Yeah, enjoy the week.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy the Open Championship, everyone that's listening. Do check out the full range of markets at williamhill.com and on the app. Thank you for tuning in and listening, and we will be back with a debrief next week. All the betting available at williamhill.com for the Open Championship 2021. And if you're having a bet with William Hill, good luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.